This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen. These are a couple of guys that don't even know the meaning of play dead.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest in the studio, Jamie McAloon-Lampman, the Executive Director of the Ingham County Animal Control. Welcome back to the studio, Jamie.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here with you guys.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. It's our pleasure to have you back here. You're always a wealth of knowledge. I guess, Jamie, why don't we follow up on the segment we just did where we were talking about tethering. We've had segments on here both pro and con to tethering, but I would love to know your impression because you see a lot of things that other people just don't see.
Sure. Actually, tethering is a big issue with us because we're always responding to calls from the community about dogs on tethers. We see also a higher rate of dog bites coming from dogs on tether than dogs that are not on tethers.
Sure.
So it's a real problem with us because it's also coincides with welfare complaints. You know, shelter, no food, no water.
Right.
Flies attacking its ears, just a number of issues go along with tethering that we have to address.
So what yourself personally, or maybe I guess more from the animal control perspective, what other light can you shed on this? I mean, we're not going to get rid of tethering, not overnight, and are there just kind of, may I say, is there gray area? Are there responsible and irresponsible tethering?
Yeah, you know, there are some cases where tethering is probably in the best interest of the animal. And boy, I can't believe I just said that.
Okay.
But we often get some dogs that are escape artists. There's nothing in the world that will keep them in. And people like to go out in their yard. They like to enjoy it. They like the dog to be out there with them. But 2 seconds out, boom, that dog's gone.
Sure.
It comes to mind with us as beagles. They can climb any fence. They can go under any fence. They can go through any gate. Huskies are another big issue. We see those often on the run. So we actually recommend to people on short-term basis, these dogs while you're outside, sure, you can have them tethered out with you, while they're under supervision. But for long-term, unsupervised, no, because we find these dogs hung over a fence, sorry about that.
Right.
So under certain conditions, absolutely, it does work, and it works really well.
Okay, and what about the trolley type approach? Is that kind of all wrapped into this?
You mean on the line?
Yeah,
the
lines
runner.
That go back.
Actually, that's the one that we'll recommend for people is the one on the runner on the line.
And does that change anything as far as either how protectious they are or the likelihood of biting?
Well, I think it's the time that they're on those tethers. That's
okay.
What's determining.
Give us
the
some
animals.
Numbers then. I mean,
well, you know, a dog that's out there every day, 24 hours a day, absolutely not.
That's obviously a bad number.
Yeah, that's
there's a bad number.
And that's what we deal with
a lot. But let's go in between that.
Okay, they're out there for 8 hours a day unsupervised. That could be a problem.
Okay.
I mean, that's when, especially with the heat, they tip over their water bowls unless they're really affixed quite well.
Okay.
It's going to depend. Where's the fence? Can they reach a fence? Can they get in a doghouse, then hop over the fence and hang themselves? Those
sure.
are some of the concerns. We've been to places where they've worked it out really well. Being unsupervised for 8 hours is certainly a concern. Some people have no option.
Right.
You know? And then if that animal is exposed where they're tethered and an animal can get to them or a young child can get to them, certainly an animal's behavior changes when they can't flee because they have that instinct for fight or flee. Well, if they're tethered, they got to fight.
Right.
And sometimes they feel that somebody coming in their zone is an attacker,
right.
Whether it's a child or a cat or another dog. Certainly an unaltered female on a tether is unacceptable, and we see that happen too. All of a sudden a person comes home, they got 10 male dogs in their yard and there's fights and their dogs tore up. I mean, it's a mess. So it's common sense. It's really common sense.
Now, sometimes common sense seems common to you and I.
Yeah, I know.
But to the general general audience, that not necessarily. Is there some way in which, let's say, the neighbor has a tethering situation or they want to be, like, making sure that they're not doing the wrong things? Is there some place someone would go to kind of gain information in that respect? Like, you know, common sense is only common sense.
So you're looking for a website or some sort of guidelines for proper tethering of an animal?
Sure.
I'm not aware of any. Right. Yeah, but I'll bet there are some.
Okay.
I'll bet there are some.
Okay.
I would definitely go to the internet and look for that, and I wish I had that for you.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I just always find...
No, you're right, Rick,
yeah.
Because one of the things you were talking about, that line back and forth, and And one of the advantages I know of that is that that way the chain does not drag through feces, which might be on the ground, and then create some kind of a health issue that goes on. So, I mean, there are real thoughts going into the how these things are being devised. Yeah. But I think, Jamie, what I hear you saying is there have to be limits to what it is that you do with them. And frankly, use your brains because, as you said, an unaltered female dog, that's going to draw other dogs there no matter what systems you have in place. So that makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Now, is there any change that you see should happen from a legal perspective? Because there seems to be controls over tethering, but our first guest some weeks ago seemed to imply that the legal perspective on tethering was weak.
Well, and what do you mean? What?
Like it should be more...
Well, she was looking for more of a statewide increase in the tethering laws, whereas our previous guest was talking more about that it literally ought to be very local in terms of its prevalence, because the example that he gave is even that in some neighborhoods, you're not permitted to put up fences. Mm-hmm. So what do you do in order to keep a dog? So he's saying to keep the ordinances very, very local, whereas our guest a few weeks ago, Annie, was talking about increasing the state laws regarding...
And when they say increase, what they're talking about is restricting the number of hours that a dog can be tethered to a certain X number of hours and other,
the length of the tether
and,
water
and various
bowl,
other...
Shelter.
You know, unfortunately, I didn't read through the actual proposal that they were entertaining, but I'm just saying that from your perspective, are tethering laws too lenient?
Well, we don't have any, really.
Okay.
I mean, some individual communities do. I know in Calhoun County, I believe Battle Creek has one on tethering. You can tether, but it has X number of hours. And when I was down there at the Humane Society, when I was director down there, so they can only be on the tether for X number of hours. Well, we would go there, and the owner would say, well, you know what? I come out here at midnight, and I walk my dogs for 4 hours. Well, we couldn't disprove that.
Right.
That's the problem, is you can't prove often that the dog is on or off unless you've got somebody taking photographs and documenting it. So it gets very difficult to actually monitor when you have those time restraints. They're a great idea because, you know, the whole issue with dogs that are on tethers is the quality of life, the lack of human interaction, and the inability to get the exercise they need to keep them from going crazy on that chain.
And when one thing I brought up then, and I'll bring up again, is that sometimes change is slow, and I would have to imagine that from the time you first began your career in this and now, I would hope that the issue is less rather than more?
It depends on the community you're in.
Okay.
It really does. I mean, there's a lot of education that has to go into how you want your animals treated and to get that across. We're really changing things in Ingham County, I think. I think the mindset is that the animals are companions. They need to be treated as members of the family. And, you know, when I first got into this business, they were still seen as property. It was difficult to talk about, you know, bringing an animal inside in bad weather. It's a dog. You know, it was acceptable. But as far as tethering goes, you know, I don't know. It's still there. It's still you still see the dog with the ground in circle around the doghouse. I mean, we just talked about yesterday we were dealing with a lot of dogs on tethers and chains, you know, and it's a horrible life for a dog.
And it does drive the neighbor. I mean, anyone that's actually looking at these animals as real companions or real potential for companions, just to go out and look out your window and see that day after day after day. And the inability to change that is just tragic.
Well, and I guess, Jamie, that leads me to a follow-up on something we've talked about in the past, which was that you said a lot of times that the dogs that were involved in fighting were frequently also tethered dogs. So I kind of like to shift the gears to the fighting situation that's been going on in the pit bull situation, because last time you were in, there were some investigations that were going on that you couldn't talk about because of the fact that they were still under investigation. Have you those finished? Is that something you can comment on?
Well, we've had we've had multiple convictions recently in the last month, which has been very encouraging to all of us, because one of them was an investigation from 3 years ago. The individual had left town, came back, and so was arrested, and now has pled guilty and is serving time in the county jail. He's paying restitution. Well, not paying restitution yet, but hopefully will pay the restitution of over $30,000 owed to the shelter. And then we've had several convictions that where they are actually in jail, and several others that are pending. And then the we had one that with the individual that left the dog frozen in Ingham Park. That was scheduled for court, but he failed to show up for court. So now another warrant is out for his arrest. So hopefully we'll get him and any others that are outstanding. But it's been very successful, and it doesn't matter how long it takes. We're going to still follow through. We're going to get you.
Interesting. Well, Rick, we're going to continue the conversation. We've got in the studio with us Jamie McAloon-Lampman from the Ingham County Animal Control, and we're going to continue the conversation right after the break on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
I have a little red rooster. Wakes me up on Christmas.